Today's second lesson may be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, tell us what we need to hear, and show us what we ought to do to obey your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. When others were getting up in the morning and leaving for work, the wise men were just going to bed. And when others had washed the dinner dishes, trimmed the lamps, and donned their night clothes, the wise men were wide awake, gazing at the stars. Stars were their obsession, because they believed that we humans are caught in the grip of astral forces, that our destinies are written in the stars from the instant of our birth to the moment of our death. Their beliefs are still with us, aren't they? You can find them on page C-13, the horoscope, in the Washington Post. And you can also find them in musty rooms on Wisconsin Avenue where psychics shuffle their tarot cards. I confess I am amazed by the number of people who believe that they have been dealt this or that personality or have been locked into a particular unchangeable fate because they just happen to be born under a particular sign of the zodiac. But stop and think. The starlight that strikes our eyes later tonight is already several years old by the time it gets here. The star Arcturus, for example, may not even exist anymore. You will see the light tonight of Arcturus, but it may have long since collapsed, and we would not know it for perhaps 37 years, because that's how long it takes for that light from that star to reach planet Earth. Listen to Stephen Hawking, the brilliant Cambridge mathematician. "When we look at the universe," he says, "we are seeing it as it was in the past." And that means that the stars we thought we were born under weren't even there at that moment. They were not at that precise location when we were born. So what possible power have the stars over our destinies? In Matthew's gospel, the star has no influence whatsoever on the birth of Jesus. The star is only a beacon. It is a marker pointing the way to the place where the Messiah was born. like a road sign. The star merely points the way for the wise men. And just as road signs are to be read and then forgotten as we move toward our destination, this star came and went, leaving behind the child and the man he would become. And that man is the one who reveals our destiny. For you see, Jesus is the prototype of humanity. Jesus, in his purity of character and unity of personality, is what you and I were intended to be when we came from the hand of the Creator. Jesus and his love for God and his compassion for others is what we all should be like. Jesus is the perfect man. Jesus is the complete human being. And that perhaps is why the author of the Revelation in the scripture we heard earlier speaks of Jesus as the bright morning star. Jesus is the one who points the way to what humanity should be, to what you and I should be. And he is more than human. When the wise men saw the child, they were compelled to greet him as something more than a human monarch. Matthew says they knelt down and paid him homage. And the older version of the Bible is more accurate. They knelt and worshipped him. They worshipped him. But isn't that a bit much, a bit over the top, to worship a human being, indeed a baby? If and when Prince Charles ascends the throne of Great Britain, heads of state will fly in from afar to witness his coronation, but you can be very sure of this, not a one of them will kneel down and worship him. As a matter of fact, it will be Charles who kneels. He will kneel before the Archbishop of Canterbury, not the other way around. And yet these wise men knelt and worshipped a mere child. Why? Because somewhere on that 6-mile trek from Jerusalem down to Bethlehem, they perceived the real identity of this child. Sometime on that dark night, made brighter by the Bethlehem star, the truth got hold of them that this was more than a Judean prince. Somehow penetrating and overpowering all of their prior beliefs about stars and planets and human destiny, they were seized by the belief that this was no human ruler. This was the King of Kings. This was the Lord of Lords. And in the face of that revelation, they could do no other than fall down and worship him. By the way, you will find that exact same phrase in Revelation 19:4, where 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who is seated on the throne. They worshiped God, and that's precisely what Matthew wants us to understand in this scene. The wise men saw the reflection of God in the face of Mary's baby. So they fell down and worshipped him. And that's not all. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This, of course, is the time-honored protocol. When one visits a head of state, you take them gifts. Last month, Carol and I took two good friends to Gettysburg for the day. While there, we visited the Eisenhower farm. As we stepped into the living room, we saw scores of figurines and pieces of fine china, all of them gifts from foreign dignitaries, while visiting the Eisenhowers in the White House. Well, that's what the wise men did. They gave precious gifts to the newborn king. You, on the other hand, may have no such precious gifts to give to Jesus. Perhaps you're living on a fixed income, and that fixed income is dwindling month by month as inflation and other factors eat away at what you receive. Or you may be just starting out in life today with more prospects than prosperity. You have no trust funds, no accumulated assets, no offshore bank accounts, and so all of this talk about the wise men dipping into their treasure chests just sort of goes right by you. You cannot relate to it, let alone replicate it. Evidently, a scribe in the second century felt the same way, because there is a manuscript from the second century that exchanges the words treasure chest for the word knapsack. They opened their knapsacks and gave him gifts. Now, I can identify with that. I don't have any jewel-studded chest full of gold and gems and precious spices. I don't have bank accounts in the Bahamas or Switzerland, but I do have a knapsack with a few raw talents and a bit of compassion and a spare dollar or two. I have some time in my knapsack that I can give to someone confined to their home. I own a car in which I can provide transportation for someone with a disability. There's a phone at home in my knapsack on which I can call a lonely friend. I have a knapsack full of simple gifts, and so do you. The point is, Jesus wants nothing more than you yourself. He wants you, not someone who is more wealthy or better educated. He wants you just as you are, not as you think you should be. Your knapsack, whatever its contents, are quite acceptable to Jesus. Your box of gifts, whatever that box may contain, is just fine. Christina Rossetti said it well. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. Give my heart. Before you open your gifts this Christmas, open your knapsack and give Jesus Christ your heart.